Annie, welcome to Racing Only. Better ahead of glorious Goodwood and Galway this weekend. The weather's going to be fantastic both sides of the Irish Sea, and we are very much looking forward to marking your card in the company of Kevin Blake, back from his holidays, all rested up and refreshed. How are you, Kev?
Hello, excellent, Hugh. Fresh is right, Jan. I don't know if I can speak for you now, but somehow I'm not the colour of a beetroot or anything like that. I actually managed to not get scalded through the week. It was some week. The factor 50 was working overtime, but yeah, I'm some bit presentable as well, so that's good.
I know for a fact that Dee marched you up and down the highlands and lowlands of Donegal and all around Ireland to keep you as busy as you possibly can and avoid you getting into trouble. That is not my idea of a holiday, Kevin. My idea of a holiday is sitting in a pub and doing nothing. But sure, there you go.
we covered fair ground now. We saw a lot of Donegal and the fine part of the country it is too.
good stuff. Dan Barber's with us as well. How are you, Daniel?
Yeah, good. Unfortunately, nowadays it's the ball patch I've got a bit more worried about when it comes to this one.
Two words, baseball cap,
key player.
two words, four syllables, comb over. Anyway, Tuesday.
Is that three syllables?
It's actually four, but it is three syllables, but it's like The Office. Remember Gareth in The Office says, one word, two syllables, demarcation.
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay. Let's kick off with the Unibet Chesterfield Cup. It's a handicap over a mile and two at 10 to 2 on the Tuesday, the first day of the Goodwood Festival. And Daniel, you were saying to me, just in terms of prices, you had a look around, and it's 13 to the field at the moment. Is that right?
Yeah, they are. I mean, I don't think firms are able to split really May Danny and Migration, and you can see why. May Danny won the race last season in really good fashion. She's out of traction, this horse. He's a classic Johnston animal in that he had a quiet run, pretty poor one prior to Goodwood last season, and then just bounced back immediately and destroyed this race from the front. But one thing I would add, he didn't get a solo that day, but he didn't get the sort of contested pace he's going to get here, because Majestic Dawn, it's not just pace everywhere. Most of the pace seems to be low as well. Cockalore and Majestic Dawn, they're horses that will definitely be depressing him and making him possibly do a bit more this time around. And for me, I'm going to go against Goodwood convention. The idea is you want a prominent racer drawn low. I think if you go for a hold-up horse, you might as well go with something drawn out in the car park, because they'll be steadied in. And case in point, Migration, who was punted on his reappearance for the very shrewd David Mounissier, and he basically should have won half the track. He got no run. As a result of that luckless effort, he's up only a pound. He's still clearly a well-handicapped horse. Now, I know he missed a long time, but his form from a couple of seasons ago was very strong, and I thought it sets up perfectly for him. If they go hard in front, he'll be coming late and wide down the outside, I hope, and we'll be able to get there in time.
Lovely. Okay, it's wide open, Kev. It's wide open. So, you can't really be that bullish, really, can you?
Oh yeah, wide open. And like Dan says, like I would have had an interest in May Danny, because he looked to really come alive around here last year, but there's an awful lot of pace in the race. I just found it a difficult one to decipher, because look, Goodwood is a place that time and time again, I like to look for course form, course and distance form. You know, if you've, I'm sure many of the listeners would have stepped out in it and walked it at some stage. Like, it really is a mad track. Like, it's bananas. It's one of a little bit like Epsom. Like, you stand back and you look at it and you go, who in the name of God thought it would be a good idea to put a race course here? Like, this is a lovely place, but Jesus, that's not a race course. God, you're mad. So you like to see horses that have operated there before. I suppose we should mention as well, it might not be as applicable for the early part of the week, but the weather is, no one seems to be in agreement with what the weather is going to do. There's rain knocking about. How much are you going to get? The course isn't willing to give any sort of a guide at all. They literally said in the going report, you know, estimates vary from forecast to forecast, which is the type of thing we're supposed to say, not the race course. So that's probably a little bit more applicable for later in the week. I think we'll hopefully be on good ground here by the time we get to Tuesday. And look, I'm talking myself around in circles, because I do like my Danny. But I am a little bit concerned about the pace situation. But we'll take our chance, I think. We'll take our chance with my Danny.
Sure, take a swing and a miss, I'm sure. What of it? Right, the 225 is the Vintage Stakes. It's a Group 2, 7 furlongs. And at the time of recording, Berkshire Shadow for Oisin Murphy and Andrew Balding is your 2-1 co-favourite, along with LaSalle for Richard Hannon and Pat Dobbs. So about 2-1. Eldrick Jones is 7-2. The Acropolis for Aidan O'Brien is 6-1. I wonder what kind of a week he's going to have. And at 16-1, bar big prices the last three. So Kev, I guess, look, you know, Berkshire Shadow and Lusail here, the Acropolis 6-1. I don't know, can you make a case for him to win this? Who do you like?
You know, I've liked Berkshire Shadow the whole way along, to be honest with you. I really liked him when he made his winning debut at Newbury. Did really, really well, considering his slow start really put him on the back foot. And, you know, Andrew Balding, I know he seems to be have his two-year-olds a bit more forward this season than in previous seasons, but it was great to see him take such a big step up in the Coventry. He might have been in the right part of the track and everything else, but he did win quite well, I thought, on the day. And sure, look, I know the form, you could paint it one or two ways in terms of how it's working out. There has been a couple of letdowns, but there has been a couple of endorsements too along the way. I still think, you know, it's the Coventry is always going to be, you know, quite solid. I suppose you get variations either side of solid, but I thought it was a solid enough Coventry. Berkshire Shadow should improve again. Lusail, you know, took a big step forward at Newmarket last time, winning the July Stakes. You know, had to be tough, but I just feel that, you know, he's had the four runs, Berkshire Shadow has had the two. I just feel Berkshire Shadow might be open to a little bit more improvement. Their form levels are probably in a very similar neck of the woods, but that being a little bit less exposed, I'm hoping Berkshire Shadow will be able to take another step forward and hopefully maintain his unbeaten record.
Yeah, so maybe more open to improvement, Berkshire Shadow. There's only a pound between them, Dan, in the ratings. Berkshire Shadow 107 rated and Lusail is 108. It does seem to be between those two. Can you split them or have you gone elsewhere?
Well, you can't always project what might happen from a race based on what's gone before, but last four winners this race have been Battleground, Pinatubo and Expert Eye. One of them hasn't trained on, of course. Two of them were very good horses. Pinatubo, of course, was a star. And if there is another one this year, for me, it is going to be Berkshire Shadow. If you're a fan of lines through form, so collateral form, you might think, well, Lusail had Eldrick Jones back in fifth at Newmarket, whereas Berkshire Shadow had the horse back in second. So on a line through job, you might be saying that Lusail has the edge over Berkshire Shadow. But I do think the trip's quite a big thing. He stepped up from five to a stiff six at Ascot and was very strong at the end, Berkshire Shadow. And my initial thought was, oh, well, it'll be a different type of race. Goodwood doesn't reward the come-from-behind tactics like Ascot tends to, particularly going around a bend here. But I do think the longer trip sort of negates that. And I just get the sense he's the best of these. And, of course, Lusail has won at seven already, but he did show a fair bit of pace to win at Newmarket. And I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if Berkshire Shadow was the stronger stayer of the pair at the trip. Bear in mind, he's damaged from the family of Islington, who, remember, was a very good middle-distance performer for Ballymacall and Sir Michael back in the day.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that's two votes of confidence for Berkshire Shadow. I think I'm going to make it three. So all in at 2-1. The 3 o'clock is your Qatar Lennox Stakes, Group 2 over 7 furlongs. Space Blues is your 85-40 favourite for Charlie Appleby and William Buick at the time of recording. And Creative Force 15-4 or 4-1. Safe Voyage 13-2. Kinross 15-2. And it's 9-1 Bar. Okay. Right, Dan. Space Blues for me. I'm going to keep it very simple. I know his last one, ninth in Maidan over 5 furlongs. So I'm quite willing to forgive that. And back at this distance, I'm going to give him a chance at just over 2-1. What do you like?
Well, yeah, he's the best horse in the race. I don't think there's any question of this. And look back to the performance last season in the Lennox. He had three or four of these behind, including Duke of Hazzard, who was second, Escobar was third, and Safe Voyage was fourth. All three of those reoppose here. And on the face of it, they've clearly got a lot of work to do. But Man Niggle at that sort of price, Hubert, is the profile of him this year. He's coming in. I have so much time for Charlie Appleby. I think he's brilliant. But he's coming in a completely different place this time around. He reappeared in February. He then ran in Maidan, as you just said. Probably the trip too sharp for him, maybe, as you alluded to. We've not seen him since March. He's missed the big festivals that have gone so far. Whereas this time last year, he was coming into it having won a Haydock listed race, that Longchamp group race, and he was just at the very top of his game, fit and flying sort of thing. Whereas there must be slight doubts now. I think the market will be quite revealing, because bear in mind, one of the main market rival at the moment is the same stables, Creative Force. So that might tell us a bit about expectations. But with that in mind, I'm going to do a rare thing and back a front runner each way. And I don't normally like doing that because it doesn't take much for the place part to go up in smoke as well as the win part. But we've got an extra place on the sports book for this race. And Safe Voyage, drawn in three, I thought was ideally birthed to attack. There is tactics. He doesn't have to lead, but he'll sit handily. If he wants to sit behind Pogo, he can do. But pretty simplistic for me, this. It's low stall at Goodwood, race largely full of hold-up horses, and maybe a doubt or two about the likely market leader, Space Blues.
Okay, so Safe Voyage each way to make all and hopefully hold on for a Dan. What about you, Kev?
Yeah, look, Space Blues, kind of the race revolves around him in a sense, in that, you know, he brings in the best form, you know, he holds loads of these, and that was a wonderful season last year. But, you know, what kind of shape is he going to be in? Like, he didn't run too bad at Maidan, in fairness. You know, they felt there was excuses dropping back to six. You know, this is probably his, you know, close enough to his ideal course and distance. But yeah, he's a difficult one to weigh up now. And Creative Force, the stablemate, like, I don't think his form is could rival Space Blues at his best at the minute, at least. But he's a 3-year-old and he's stepping up run to run. Took on the older horses last time in the July Cup, and I thought he ran quite well. He was, you know, having won the Jersey, he was dropping back to six again. And just at that level, it did seem a little bit slick for him. And I'd say getting back up to a fast seven would be much more to his liking. He's drawn low, you know, and it's tricky. You know, Space Blues makes this a very tricky contest, but Creative Force will hopefully be able to follow Safe Voyage there and get a little bit of luck that you always need around here. And hopefully it'll go quite well.
Okay, 15-4 from 4-1, so just been nibbled at. But as you say, maybe the market, as Dan says, on the day will reflect how much confidence the yard have behind Space Blues, given the absence over the course of the summer so far. The Al Shakab Goodwood Cup, gentlemen, is Group 1. It is the 3:35 on the card over 2 miles. And look who's back for more punishment. Dear pal Stradivarius, 11-10. Will they ever learn? Sir Ron Priestley, 4-1. Spanish Mission, 11-2. True Shan is 11-2. And it's 11-1. Bar. Right, Kev, who's going to beat Stradivarius this time?
Oh, Hubert. I'll tell you, the Stradivarius fan club are going to track you down one of these days and they'll be knocking you over the head with a violin.
They'll be 4 foot tall, Kev. They'll be 4 foot tall. Because many of them attacking me, say, like, I'd be like your pal Gulliver on Gulliver's Travel. I'll be swatting them away. Be bring it on, lads. Bring it on.
Yeah, look, I suppose that there's a little bit of a hint of vulnerability about Stradivarius now. He's lost that air of invincibility that he had for quite some time. And look, the Gold Cup was a bit of a mess of a race for him. I'm sure Frankie looks back on it with regret and what have you for the position he put him in that led to the trouble that he met late on. But look, he loves Goodwood. He's won this race, I think, at the last count, 20 million times. He loves it around there. And while he hasn't always been at his most impressive, he's always tended to find a way. But I'd say Frankie now just put a headbutt of the wall when he saw the draw. Stall one is just, you think it's where you want to be now, but for a horse like Stradivarius, it's tough, because Frankie, as we saw at Ascot, he doesn't want to ride him forward. He wants to ride him with a bit of patience. And from stall one around here, the tracks, the his opposition are just going to converge around him, and he's going to be at the mercy of an awful lot of luck. So from a setup point of view, I think it's going to be challenging for Stradivarius in terms of the one to go against him with. And you know, I almost habitually have taken on Stradivarius over the years, only recently started working out, but we'll keep going. Look, you can make cases for loads of these. I think it's a real good renewal. Pace situation is interesting. There's a few to go forward. You know, one that I just wouldn't totally forget about, because I could make a kind of a cases for most of the ones that are prominent in the market behind Stradivarius, but I just wouldn't forget about Neuf Road. He's a giant price. He might be 50-1 or something like that. But he does seem to really enjoy Goodwood. He gave Stradivarius a bit of a fright in this race last year. Was only beaten a length by him. His other previous spin to Goodwood, he beat He beat Constantinople in the Garden Stakes in Spanish Mission. You know, he does seem to enjoy it around there. And I know he's drawn wide, but he was drawn wide in the race last year, and he kind of made his way to the front end. And I wouldn't like to be laying him at 50-1, to put it that way. Especially the play in the place market. I could definitely see him outrunning those odds, and he's one that that caught my eye now on first inspection into this race.
Okay, what about you, Dan? Are you going to be with or against the favourite? And if you're against, who are you on?
Well, I kept saying you won't want to lay Nair Froude at 50s. It's basically, you don't want to lay any Johnston horse at 50s at Goodwood, do you? You don't need much of an excuse to make a case for one. So yeah, I definitely wouldn't sniff at that. But I just think this market's a bit wrong. Spanish Mission has finished ahead of Stradivarius. It's not like Spanish Mission got a charmed run through that race. He ended up having to wait behind rivals on the home turn in the Ascot Gold Cup. And then he's had to come right round the outside to make his effort. I thought he ran really well. He hasn't looked back since he was sixth in this race last season on his final outing for David Simcock. He's been turned inside out by Andrew Balding. I just think the price between them, the discrepancy is too big. I mean, it's a long old while since Stradivarius ran to those mid to high 120s figures that he was capable of. And as Kev's saying about the air of invincibility having gone, he's been beaten on four of his last five starts now, which was pretty much unthinkable 2 or 3 years ago when he was winning every race that was put in front of him.
Yeah, okay. So look, we'll wait and see what the old boy does. And if he wins, sure, look, we'll all doffer a cap. But yeah, I definitely don't even think at that price, I have to say.
No, you won't.
No, I won't. 4:10 is the last in the car. We've got Goodwood, lads, and we've got a race of Galway to talk about as well. Back to Goodwood handicap. It's over 5 furlongs. And Dan, you can just give us a quick summation here, because it's wide open. There's 17 going to post here. Anything stand out as a decent handicap sprinter?
Well, remember that Benny Hill sponsored King Stand Stakes this year where the field went off in fast forward? Well, there might be another example of that here today on Tuesday with Alastronauti, Jabberocky, Ornate, horses like that, Rue Yatu's amongst the market leaders. Absolutely, I love the horse Only Spoofing. He might have a perfect setup. He might be my first play at shorter prices, drawn low, might just track the pace and be ideally berthed. But absolute flyer on a horse who, wait for this for a compelling case, has only ever beaten two horses home when running in a double figure size field. That's Ishvara. But the angle is hold up horse, drawn low. On bits and pieces of form, she isn't a rag of the field job. Perhaps her first time visor will spark her to life. And Franny Norton, rolling back the years, it's the idea of who's the go-to lightweight jockey. Well, it is basically Franny nowadays, and he's doing 8-3 for Ishvara. Absolutely small stakes, minimal stakes job. But this is going to be fast and furious, and I'm hoping for once she's motivated in a double figure field.
Lovely. Ishvara, number 14 on your card. Kev, what about for you?
I don't have a huge view, Hugh, but I Only Spoofing, look, has good credentials. Trim by Kevin Coleman there down outside Carrick & Shore, and he's been banging away in this type of race for his last couple of starts. Ran a belter in the Dash to finish second, ran a belter to finish fourth in the Rockingham at the Curragh. Things didn't really go right for him at Ascot last time, but look, I think he must have a solid chance. I think that this quick five will suit him well, and I'll hopefully he'll represent Kevin Coleman very well there with Tom Marcan booked, who rode him when he was second into Dash.
Okay, that's cool. We're wrapped up. Let's move to Galway. The 4:15 on the card is the Colin Quinn BMW Mile. It's a 6:15, and Kev, Joseph has Mazagran at 6-1 here, heading the market as things stand. What kind of a chance would you give it, please?
Yeah, he's an interesting horse, Hugh. He came with a very unusual profile. His owner sent him over from the UAE, and he'd been running on the dirt over there and doing well enough without setting the world alight. So he was a very difficult one to weigh up when he arrived as to the level of his form. But he was working very well before he went to Limerick. But sure, look, you just don't know. You know, running on soft ground at the track like Limerick on turf, you just don't know. And he very much gave everyone an answer because he absolutely bolted up. Missed the kick, was ridden kind of very quietly and hacked up. He was really, really impressive. And the handicapper gave him £12. He earned all of them. And sure, look, he'd be a very difficult horse to put a ceiling on at the minute. because it seemed to really suit him. He handled the undulations of Limerick well, so you'll be hopeful Galway will be okay. Look, this is always one of the hardiest handicaps in the whole flat racing calendar in Ireland, really. You know, massively competitive, huge field, run around a track like Galway. Like, luck, it can be a massive thing. He's a horse that'll be ridden quietly, so he'll need luck. There should be plenty of pace in front of him to run at, which will hopefully, spread the field out a little bit and give a bit more room for those that are looking to make late headway, such as him. But I'm not surprised he's up amongst the market leaders now, because he was very impressive at Limerick, and I wouldn't like to say that he couldn't have more improvement in him.
Okay, good stuff, Dan. Have you a bet in this race, or how do you see it?
Well, Joseph's running too, but Adol McGuinness has trumped him. He's got 5 or 6. I mean, he's having a right crack at it, including one of the reserves of his. There'll be shorter priced ones, but I thought Star Harbour was interesting. I mean, he's a 3-year-old who's in basically his first season of racing. He didn't make his debut until the turn of the year back at Dundalk. And he did fine in defeat on all weather, but he's really picked it up since he switched to turf. He's won 2 of his last 3. The Navan win on softish ground was 1.25. He then ran over 1.5, even nearly 13 furlongs. But dropping back to 1 mile last time at Killarney really seemed to suit him. He got out in... He sat handy, quickened, and the rest couldn't live with him. For me, the handicapper has been fairly generous, allowing him just a £5 rise for that, because he beat Useful Animals and he beat him in good style, and he's boxed in 1 as well, and he'll go forward. He might just get an edge on them straight from the stalls. If he can break well, if he doesn't break well, it's a disaster, because you're caught behind horses then. But from 1, if he gets out with Declan McDonough on him, he'd be positive as well anyway. He might take a fair bit of passing. I think he might be the pick of the stables contingent anyway.
Okay, nice solid price, as you mentioned as well. Okay, lads, just your naps for the day, please, before we leave it. We will have our Racing Only Better previews of Galway and Goodwood all this week, so make sure you stay tuned for each day to preview the cards. But your naps, please. Kev, I'll kick off with your good self. What's your nap of the day?
Oh, let me see. I'm going to go for Creative Force in the Lennox, I reckon. Hubert?
Okay, going against Space Blues. So what about yourself, Dan?
Back to the first race at Goodwood. I'll be watching this from behind the sofa or through my fingers, whichever one. But I'm hoping Migration gets the gaps and comes late and fast to win that 150 at Goodwood.
Okay, good stuff. And I'll go for Berkshire Shadow myself. I think 2-1 at the time of recording. Gents, thank you so much. And enjoy Tuesday. We're back tomorrow, as I said, with a full preview of Wednesday on Galway and of Goodwood. Gamble responsibly, as always. We'll talk to you then.